On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we chat about Family Feud's Almost host, the lowest budget, highest grossing film, and most importantly, host Aaron is back.
And I am lost in space.
He's lost in space reading the We Don't Know Either book. It really fills in that void when you're floating aimlessly forever.
Very true.
Very true. Yes, you can get it at WeDon'tKnowEither.com, on Amazon, on Target, Barnes & Nobles. It lets you play trivia at home with your friends, with your out-of-town relatives. You name it. Get it. It's a ton of fun. We Don't Know Either. Easy name to remember.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 325 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Aaron.
Aaron's back. Welcome. You were making fun of me because I was using my hands to do the numbers like I always do, so I remember
right,
what
you're
episode
counting
we're on.
To yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to remember somehow.
Yeah, you were looking at me very intently, like, what is this person doing? Well, welcome back, Aaron. So we were having the debate when we left off last time about Drew Carey versus Bob Barker. Tell me, in a quick elevator pitch, who is better, LeBron or MJ?
Who and what? I do not follow sports, so I do
kidding.
Not know.
Okay, but tell us why you're not a big...
No, wait. I still want to hear your opinion then.
So
now
even more so.
Between LeBron and Michael?
And Michael, yeah.
Or do you need to wait for Space Jam 2 to come out to truly
oh my God.
Care?
I've not seen Space Jam 1, so that's definitely
How
not going to help.
Dare you?
Should I just leave now?
Yeah.
It was
pleasure
for
having you on.
Yeah.
If I were to say I hadn't seen Endgame either, would that... be cause for me to
well
leave.
That's a little bit more recent.
Yeah, you're
effect.
Still good.
Yeah, I've not seen Space Jam. I would say Michael over LeBron because he's the more popular from at least from my era. Mm-hmm. So I'm going Michael on that.
That is the correct answer.
There we go.
Good
okay,
job.
Good.
So far
I did it right.
Here's the thing I will say, Michael over MJ. Michael never lost in the finals.
That is true.
It's that simple. Sorry. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Nothing. I just I'm a big LeBron gal. I think that also Michael Jordan's really great, but my fact is actually about Michael Jordan, but oh. I wanted to lead you into talking a little bit more about Drew Carey and Bob Barker, but we kind of have the most perfect segue ever, so I'm going to just kick us
that.
Off. Yeah, I'm going to kick us off. Okay, so I was doing a lot of research into sneakers and tennis shoes because what do you call athletic shoes, Aaron?
I call them sneakers.
Call them sneakers?
Yeah.
You call them sneakers?
It's a regional thing, isn't it?
What do you call them, Michael?
I call them tennis shoes.
Yeah, so it's definitely a regional thing. Like Northeast, basically Mason-Dixon line, a little bit into D.C.,
sure.
into Maryland. It's all sneakers. And I came down here. You're not playing tennis, so why are you calling them tennis shoes?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. So I couldn't find the origins of that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do a ton of research into it, but I didn't find it. It led me down a path to sneakers. So arguably, what are some of the most famous athletic shoes of all time?
Air Jordans.
The yeah. Air Jordans. So I wanted to know.
The Nike Pump?
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh, no, the Reebok. Reebok Pump.
Yeah. So there was no pump on the original Air Jordan 1s.
No.
So I wanted to know how much those cost. Because when these were released in 1985, well, they were designed in 1984, released to the public in 1985, it was a big, big, huge, huge, huge deal.
Are we talking about the pump?
No, the Air
the
Jordan,
Jordans.
The shoes.
Air Jordans.
Yeah, they're the specific kind of
How much
shoe.
Were they when they were originally released in whatever year that was, or how much would they cost now at auction?
I have the information for what they would be with inflation. So I have what they cost in 1985 money and what they cost in 2019 money. I don't know what they would cost at auction, but I can find out very quickly as you guys debate amongst yourselves. So I would like to know how much, if you were a consumer, would you have to pay in 1985 to receive the Air Jordan 1s?
Okay. So basis for argument.
Okay.
I remember that when I was in middle school, which was slightly after 1985,
okay.
that the pair of Reebok pumps that I desperately wanted and did not receive because, as my father told me, my parents did not love me.
Oh.
Love me enough. To spend $100 on a pair of sneakers, they were $100.
Okay.
So I would assume that Air Jordans would be more than that.
Yeah, I was thinking like $150.
Okay.
I'm in the same area. I was going to think about $150. I remember a Nintendo around 89 cost about 100, maybe 130.
Sure.
So I'm thinking, I'll split the difference. I'll go 115.
Okay. All right. So you said 100. He said 115.
I said 150.
You said 150.
And this is in 1985.
Yes,
1985
money. I'm thinking $150.
Okay, so then I am gonna go on a. So Michael was extremely right, And I do say that with all of the disbelief that I can bring into the tone of my voice on last week's episode on most of the questions that we asked.
So that was on a nice roll.
In order to prevent that from happening, I'm going to say it was $151.
Okay. You may not be super into sports, Aaron, but you do wear shoes, so that could be a basis for your answer.
Yes, my Rockports are about the same as Michael Jordan's shoes. Yes, you're correct.
Okay, so what is your guess?
I went with $115.
Okay, $115. Cool. So all of you guys are a little bit off in the sense that they were $65.
Oh, my.
Really?
Just wow.
$65. So that leads to my follow-up question. How much would they be today in 2019?
$10,000. Oh, no, wait. With inflation, like at I was going
to
say
so
at
I'm
auction.
Sorry. To be clear, I'm not talking about you can get them on eBay now for $10,000, even though I'm a quick eBay search. There's also a couple for $450.
Wait, was it $10,000?
So 10,000, there's one particular one on eBay that I found that's white, black, red brand that's $10,000 that are 1985 original new.
Okay.
But there's others that are new for considerably less than that. So I don't have an average eBay cost.
Okay.
But I'm asking what is $65 in today's money? So not how much they're costing the shoe, but if it was 2019 money, how much would they cost?
I'm going to go $200.
$200?
I'm going to stick at $150.
Okay.
So 1985 inflation is what? It's about 7%. No, that's way too high. Is it 7% per year?
Inflation?
Yeah.
That sounds high.
Who does math on the podcast? Don't do
the
math.
Constantly. I'm going to say I have no idea. $151. Same.
$200.
Yes. So I just had to recap in my head to figure out who was what. But yeah, Nick, you stole it away from Michael.
Of course you did.
It was $153.56 in 2019.
Wow. Within $2.56. That's very impressive.
Can I have almost my turtle wax and go home now?
Yeah. So the Air Jordan one was a huge, huge deal. Michael Jordan signed that big deal with Nike that kind of revolutionized the athlete sport relationship. It was $2.5 million at the time, plus all the royalties, which was a huge deal because, you know, that was before his Olympic gold and a lot of other things that he did throughout his career. You know, he got fined for wearing the Air Jordans because it didn't meet NBA's color requirements. And Nike was like, yeah, we'll pay the $5,000 fine.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Keep wearing our shoes, Michael Jordan. Please keep wearing our shoes.
Also, just remember, this is after Adidas turned him down.
Wow.
He originally wanted to wear Adidas. He wanted the shoe deal with Adidas, but they turned him down.
Yep.
It's almost like that hindsight of where Netflix could have been purchased by
Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For like $1 million.
Yeah, and your last bonus sneaker fact, this original Air Jordan was the only one in the series to feature the familiar Nike swoosh logo before it eventually became the Jumpman logo that we are all accustomed to seeing and knowing today. So there we go.
All right. Well, Lindsay, speaking of the time dilation of money.
Smooth.
Speaking of the time dilation of money.
And speaking of Endgame earlier on in the episode, and there will be no Endgame spoilers here, so feel free to
even though the spoiler
listening.
Ban has been lifted.
Yeah.
Has it?
We're still not going to ruin anything
for anybody. We would not. But if you managed at this point, weeks later, to not be spoiled, I would like to know how you're turning off the world because...
I can answer that.
What, did you just stay off the internet?
Pretty much, and I could care less.
Then it doesn't matter if it's spoiled.
Well, no, I want to see the movie. Don't get me wrong. I do want to go see the movie, and I've heard people talking about it in my car. But you could tell me the entire plot of the movie. I'll still go and see it and forget everything you said by the time I get to the theater.
Also, Aaron also is a Lyft driver, so for a moment it was like, oh, who are these random people in your car that are talking about the movies? Yeah.
I just pick up folks just for fun, drop them off wherever.
Yeah, okay, so what's your fact?
So I think most people know the it's kind of a trivia standard as far as like the lowest budget movie to have the highest box office gross. Do we know it? I mean, we can start there.
I have a thought.
Go ahead.
Like something like Blair Witch Project.
The Blair Witch Project. Okay. That is correct. It was a $60,000 budget, and it grossed $248 million at the worldwide box office. So $60,000 to make, almost $250 million is what it made. So that is like the the benchmark. That's what everybody's trying to hit.
Sure.
A movie that costs nothing that makes a ton of money.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember thinking that was real for a while. Because was that like 2000 or something that came out? Or like late 90s?
So 1999, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I remember for a while, like with their marketing campaign, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go in the woods. There's real witches there.
That was here. You know that, right?
I didn't.
It was filmed like 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Oh.
The woods that they filmed in and Maryland, where the witch rumors and the myth started is like 20 minutes from here.
It's not too far from a casino in West Virginia.
Yeah.
I passed through it. Like Burkittsville?
Yeah.
I think that's it?
That's it, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Burkittsville, Maryland, yeah.
I didn't know that there was a real place for this to start.
Absolutely.
Cool. Guerrilla marketing 101. Well done.
So prior to the Blair Witch
project.
Prior to the Blair Witch Project, what was the record holder for the lowest budget, highest gross, and what were the numbers?
Is this a movie any of us would have heard of?
Yes.
Okay, just
100%.
Can we get a year of
1978 was the previous world record holder.
Airplane.
That is a good guess, but no.
Okay, I mean, they had a lot of stars in it,
yeah,
which would drive up the cost, I guess, but maybe they just wanted to hang out and
sure
on an airplane together.
Why not?
And also,
Kareem,
I don't know,
Abdul
that's
Jabbar is the co-pilot. So good.
It's not like the
and don't call me Shirley.
It's not like the Monty Pythons, because those, you know, graphic wise were pretty high end.
They were, yeah. The CGI was amazing.
Yeah. How else did they get the giant hand thing? You know what I'm talking about. They can spam a lot now too.
78. Any other guesses? 1978. Yeah. Huge movie. Launched a career of a very famous person.
I'm going to go Superman.
Superman is another good guess, but no, that was a multi-million dollar budget.
I don't know if this is 78 or not, but Princess Bride?
No, that's later in the 80s.
Okay. Like 86, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not up to date on all my late 70s movies. Yeah. When I think of 70s, I'm thinking, you know, Star Wars,
right,
which had some budget.
Huge celebrity career was launched from starring in this movie. This is one of her first movies. No, crickets.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Halloween.
Oh.
Was the movie.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Michael Myers. Lindsay, you're looking like you haven't heard of it.
No, I just wasn't thinking. It would have, in my brain, would have made sense. Okay, this was a horror movie. Horror movies can be low budget because often the fear of not seeing it is actually better than seeing the monster itself.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that
work
would make
Jaws
sense that it would.
Yeah, Bird Box.
That would make sense that it was a horror movie. And I'm thinking horror movies in the 70s, how I would have, I think I could have gotten there, and I'm mad at myself for not seeing that obvious connection.
Sure.
But same. I'm not a big horror movie person, so my brain didn't go there right away.
So it made $70 million.
Wow.
Any guesses as to what it cost?
If Blair Witch Project was $60,000, I'll say $25,000.
Yeah, that's about right, B.
It's actually $300,000.
Wow.
Yeah, is what it cost to make, and it grossed $70 million at the worldwide box office, compared to Blair Witch, which was $60,000 for $248 million.
Are you saying movie studios should spend as little as they can while making a lot of money? That might be something that like businesses might
yeah
start doing.
So recently, well, you've got Endgame, which cost, with marketing and promotional tie-ins and everything else,
and just salaries,
yeah, close to $1 billion to make. On the other side of that, some of the more recent ones that are entered on the list but have not quite been able to equal the Blair Witch Project was Paranormal Activity.
That would have been a good guess also.
Yeah, that cost $15,000 to make.
Wow.
Just some fishing line to move the bedspread?
Exactly. and that grossed $193.4 million at the box office.
And then also launched the rest of the series
and
also.
Yeah, it was just that movie. The other ones then cost more money and worse. So what are you going to do? But yeah, there was a lot of, like Mad Max, the original Mad Max was $300,000 and made $380 million at the worldwide box office. The cheapest one that I could find was
The Room.
No, there were two more sequels made after it with Antonio Banderas. It was a
Shrek
Rodriguez
Puss in
movie.
Boots.
Oh, you're thinking so the Mariachi.
The Mariachi.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Yes, Il Mariachi, the original one. They remade it as Desperado.
Desperado, thank
right
you. That's what.
But the original one, Il Mariachi, by Robert Rodriguez, right? Robert?
Oh, yeah. I thought you said Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas is the actor.
Is the actor in
gotcha
the remake. Rodriguez
gotcha
is the director of both of
sorry
them.
Sorry, I'm only thinking Shrek.
That
Aaron,
one,
you look very lost.
I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah. but that one made $2 million, Il Mariachi, the original, and it only cost $7,000 to make, and he pretty much raised the money to do it by submitting himself to, like, medical tests. And he self-financed the entirety of the movie for $7,000.
I've seen the second two. I don't think I've seen Il Mariachi.
That's the original.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's in Spanish.
Okay.
Cool.
Because I think Once Upon a Time in Mexico has Johnny Depp in it.
Yes.
Cool. Well, who's got the segue from the movies? Aaron, do you have a segue?
I'm
putting you on the spot.
Yes, you are. You are putting me on the spot. We were talking about Space Jam earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a space-related question.
Ooh.
I'm talking about the space and with Halloween being in the 1970s. Let's talk about the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
Well done, sir.
And in the 1970s, one of the most popular game shows of the 70s would have been anybody, anyone?
Popular game shows in the 70s? Match Game.
Pyramid.
Close.
Let's make a deal.
Family Feud. There we go.
Family Feud.
Oh, yeah.
Show me Family Feud.
With iconic host...
Richard Dawson.
According to an interview with Richard Dawson...
Oh, going right to the source. I like that.
Who was Mark Goodson, who was the producer of Family Feud? Who was his original choice to be the host of Family Feud? It is a renowned spaceman. I will give you that much.
Neil Armstrong?
Buzz Aldrin.
Those are space people?
Jim Lovell.
Close. Okay, I'll give you a better clue.
Marvin the Martian.
A fictional spaceman.
Okay.
Steve Martin. No, just kidding.
He wanted a fictional spaceman?
Fictional spaceman could have been the host. Was
Jetson.
Did he want Robin Williams?
No.
That's a real person.
No, I know, but I'm thinking he played that spaceman on Mork and Mindy.
Oh.
So I thought that was the connection. Yeah, he played.
I think I've stumped the group.
Yeah, okay. Very much so.
I'm feeling
not
very
yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Fictional spaceman.
What do I know? So
Buck
okay.
Rogers.
No, but you're getting closer.
Oh, not Buck Rogers. It's,
The awkward silence as Michael's brain hurts.
Yeah, no, it's...
You're batting 1,000 right now. Don't mess up.
It's on the tip of my tongue. It's, he was referenced in the movie Ted. He was...
Ugh, don't get me started on Ted and how much I hate that film.
He was also a quarterback. I'm trying to think of his name.
A quarterback that was in
Ted. No, you're Terry way,
Bradshaw.
I'm telling you now, you're way off.
You know who I'm talking about, though?
I don't have a clue.
Your honesty is
Flash Gordon. That's who I'm thinking of.
Flash Gordon. Okay.
Nope, you're getting closer, though. Lindsay, you want to give him one more shot?
Do I want to give it a shot? I do, but I am just drawing a blank because I'm still laughing really hard at how hard Michael is concentrating. And I was very worried that we broke you again. So tell us.
William Shatner.
Oh.
Captain Kirk was...
The original choice.
The original choice to be the host of Family Feud. Can you imagine watching Family Feud, at least the older episodes, and here comes Captain Kirk down the steps welcoming... I've been trying to envision it, and I've been...
I think it'd be amazing.
I've been scouring the internet, especially YouTube, trying to find a pilot episode. I found the pilot of Family Feud, but it's got Richard Dawson. But because of an angrily worded letter to Mark Goodson from Richard Dawson, from Richard Dawson's agent, that is why Shatner didn't get the job. That's how Richard Dawson got the job as the host of Family Feud.
Man, give his agent all the money then, though, right? Like, I mean, that was a big deal.
Well, he was a big deal on Match Game, and he did very well there. He was always picked as, you know, the go-to guy on those old episodes of Match Game, and he wanted his own show. He thought he could do it. And...
He was right.
He was right. And he killed. I mean, he was a jackass. I mean, but he was great on the show. But and I just, again, just going back, trying to envision William Shatner as the host of Family Feud for the 9 years.
Yeah, if they put your family in, like, the red shirts, you're just screwed. Like,
yeah, that's it. He's just going to just flash back. Con! He's going to flash back. That's going to be the end of it.
Yeah, you just get 3 X's automatically if you're in the red shirt. Cool. That's super, super interesting.
So that's my fact. Now, you've got a segue from Family Feud to...
Speaking of feuding families.
No?
No. Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
families
a little bit.
Come from places.
Yeah, there you go. You guys, I love that everybody's helping me today. It's a good day. So I ran across this article from the BBC. that essentially is titled "What Happens When a Country Loses Its Birth Certificate."
Oh.
So a specific country, at their 40th anniversary of winning their independence from the United Kingdom, admitted that they lost the independence documents and basically requested from the United Kingdom that they send them a photocopy. My question is, what country?
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That's one of those, like, well, so first off, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you lose your Declaration of Independence, your first call is to Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
isn't that the very first call you make to make sure he doesn't have it?
That's also going to be your secret phrase. Your first call is to Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Yes.
Your first call
totally
is to Nicolas Cage. Your first call is to Nicolas Cage. That is your secret phrase of this week's episode. So yeah, Nick Cage. So they didn't call Nick Cage though, Michael.
They did not call Nick Cage. At least the BBC didn't report the call to Nick Cage.
How do you lose? I would imagine that's something that is signed at a big event. That's a big deal piece of paper.
One would think.
It's not something that's just faxed over, you know, can I put your e-signature here and then that's it.
How I didn't drop it at the front desk and ask for a last name.
Here's the thing, though.
It says here after. Sorry. Go ahead, Linda.
No, I just if we're talking about like narrowing down the list of countries that have gotten their independence from the UK over the years.
That's a long list to begin with.
Yeah, that's not really a good place of narrowing down.
Well, like I said, it was 1970 was their 40th anniversary.
1970 was their 40th anniversary. So they gained their independence in the 1930s.
I believe so.
So a country that gained its independence from
the UK. I'm sorry. They gained their independence in 1970. I was mistaken.
So a country that gained its independence.
What's up with the 70s today, guys?
You got at least one person that was born in that generation.
Two
people.
Yeah, no, I wish that we made this a theme on purpose. My Air Jordans from the 80s fact just seems so out of place.
Oh, I think it should be pretty good for an episode title, right?
Yeah, that will definitely be the episode title. Make sure you put that in the notes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think, Aaron?
The country. I went to Catholic school. We didn't learn anything except for the Stations of the Cross. So, oh my God, I have no...
It says here, as the country celebrated the 40th anniversary of winning independence from its UK, its government admitted that it lost the legal independence order presented to the ministers.
Bratislava, that's the first thing that comes to my head. I don't know if it's a country or a street name in D.C. I'm going with Bratislava.
Sure. This is a city in Slovakia. I guess you could enter Slovakia in as your answer.
Yes. Lock it in. That's what I'm going with.
After 5 years of scouring files in government departments, it was forced to take the embarrassing step of asking its former colonial masters for a photocopy. What I love about this article more is they bring in professors of international law saying, does this mean that their independence is null and void?
Yeah. It's as long as the queen goes, yeah. We never got that.
Right.
We don't have a fully executed copy of the contract.
Right.
The long and short of it is, if a state is, it says here, if the state is recognized internationally, a missing document is unlikely to have any bearing on its independent status.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness they clarified. Whew.
The greater question is, where in the hell is it? Where could it possibly have
Where did it
up?
Go? It's in a file somewhere.
Yeah. Some intern someday is going to be really excited. Okay. Iceland?
Not Iceland.
Okay. So
was Iceland ever part of the UK? I don't know. It seemed like it would be a late independent ad. Right. Australia? No, I'm just kidding. That's 70s.
Countries that have recently being, you know, the last 100 years,
sure,
they've gained their independence from the UK. There's a bunch of African countries, like Lesotho and places like that. Swaziland, maybe? Those are. It was in the 70s. Oh, it's a bunch of the Caribbean countries were in the 70s. So it's like the
West Indies,
St. Thomas.
It's not St. Thomas, but it's like like the Bahamas, or Grenada, which is, I understand, is not a Caribbean country, or like the Dominican Republic, or it's a bunch of those kinds of places. St. Kitts and Nevis. Let's go with that.
Okay, no, it's Fiji.
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 Okay.
Yeah. So you were getting there with the islands.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the world.
Yeah,
hey, I said Grenada.
No, if we're going to say, like, who's closest, Lindsay did say Australia. I mean.
No, I was no. That was in jest,
she
though.
Said Iceland.
Yeah, no, the Australia guess was in jest. I know that they did not gain their independence in the 20th century. I am aware of that.
Right. So it's, but yeah, it's just kind of lists that Fiji in 2010 kind of was like, yeah, we can't find that.
In 2010?
Yeah.
So do they say where they're storing it now?
It doesn't say whether that, I don't think it says whether the England actually gave them one or not.
Did they go with like a high color copy or like did they go to Kinko's or something?
Man.
In Fiji's case, its independence was conferred by a UK Act of Parliament.
Oh.
So it's not so much that they sent them a new copy of what they had. It was the UK saying, by Act of Parliament, yes, you are an independent country. And I guess they're going to use that now.
So this brings up something. The concept of I know somebody who was married and they were married for a long time and filing joint taxes and everything. And when they went to get divorced, they found out that they had never applied for a marriage license to begin with. So what ended up happening was that the divorce documentation therefore served as validation of the marriage to that point. So the divorce validated the marriage. That's what you're saying here.
Essentially,
that
yes.
That Parliament agreeing to their independence is what validated their independence, not so much their declaration of independence.
So Parliament didn't even bother to print it out. They were like, here, you can have it, I guess. In this age of recycling and paper usage, we're not going to bother to print your documents again.
My guess is the UK went, yeah, we can't find it either.
There's got to be some fireproof safe somewhere for all these documents. Come on, countries, get it together. We need things for Nick Cage to steal. So
absolutely.
I'm looking for National Treasure 3.
Yeah, right, yeah. In the UK and Fiji
International
stuff.
Treasure.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. Thank you, Aaron, so much for joining us. We will have you on again
for sure. Always a pleasure.
You can check Aaron out at pretty much all of District Trivia's venues at some point. He is always everywhere and anywhere.
Host extraordinaire.
You can put that on your business cards. But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Aaron.
And we don't know either.
Bye.